Oh, I've not had it before.
All right, thank you.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Dīshan zume, sāshan hā. I was a teenager here in this church when the charismatic renewal movement, that's when I first became aware of this charismatic renewal movement that swept through the churches here in New Zealand. And I remember that time. I remember Dad, maybe Mum and Dad, going off to a meeting at church as the church was trying to work out what this thing was, and was it biblical, and which of the teachings were right and which weren't. And I remember myself as a teenager trying to navigate these questions. You know, you go to a youth camp, Summer Harvest, some of you might remember those, big camps and Easter camps, and we're confronted with this fresh move of the Spirit and trying to understand what was going on. And, you know, I think we as we look back on those days, we can be grateful, can't we? I mean, there were some excesses, there was some poor teaching around, but when we look back on what the Spirit did for our churches, we can be so grateful to God for that time. But I don't know about you, but when I open my Bible to Acts chapter 2 and I read the story of Pentecost, so often I find myself going back to those days and the questions. And when I read the story of Pentecost, I find myself asking all sorts of questions or being reminded of questions. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have I received it? Should all Christians speak in tongues? Is the gift of tongues in this passage the same as the gift of tongues in other passages? And all these questions come into my mind when I open my Bible and I read Acts chapter 2. At the end of Acts chapter 2, in verse 12, this is the question that the crowd asks. You know, they've heard the Spirit come with the sound of a rushing wind, and 120 of the followers of Christ have come out of this upper room, and they're praising God in these different tongues. And the crowd gather and they say, "What does this mean?" And I think we need to ask ourselves that question again. When we open our Bibles, certainly people like myself, when we open our Bibles to the story of Pentecost, we need to ask ourselves this question. What does this mean? Because I don't think the story of Pentecost, I don't think that was written so that we could try to understand the baptism of the Spirit and the gift of tongues. What does Pentecost really mean? Pentecost is a fulfillment of Jesus' promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Where? Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That's what Pentecost means. The Spirit has come, and the next phase in God's mission has begun. And in this passage, there's another little hint to what God's doing here. In verses 9 and 11, there's this list of where the crowd has come from. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, Cretans, Arabs. Do you see where they come from? Have you ever realized what was happening here? Isn't that amazing? People had come from all of the ends of the earth. This list of place names, it's not, I mean, look at that. There's a story that God is telling us there. This is what Pentecost is about. All the world, the ends of the earth hearing the name of Christ. And now, 2,000 years later, we find ourselves here at the end of the earth. And the job isn't finished yet, is it? And that's why you as a church have this absolute commitment to mission locally, but also overseas. And through those that you've sent, and particularly, of course, through OMF and the New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society. And this morning, Russell has asked me to introduce you to your Baptist Missionary Society. Here, as we begin our prayer and self-denial appeal, what is it you're praying for? What is it you are supporting through your gifts of money? And so we're going to race. So strap on your seatbelts. We have an awful lot to cover. But I want to give you a glimpse of what your missionary society is doing. Okay, on our logo there, you see those four globes. They are the four arms of the NZBMS. Transcend, Marketplaces, Bands Aid, and Mission World. The first of those is Transcend. And Transcend is the part of the organization that I'm responsible for. So this is the sending and ministry arm. These are the things we are doing overseas, the people that we have sent into Asia. And so as Transcend team leader, I'm responsible for these people here. These are the people that we, as New Zealand Baptists, have sent out to the places where God has called us as a movement to work. These are the people who are going and being witnesses in these places on our behalf. I'd like to tell you a few stories. How do you do mission in a city of 20 million people? This is a part of an urban village in the city of 20 million people. Just to the left of the Transcend logo, you see that little blue roof? Just above that, the pale gray one? That is the best restaurant in the entire universe. This was my old backyard. And now Peter, we have Peter there, who was my neighbor. No, sorry. Go back. Not this Peter. So we'll stay here. We'll stay here for a little bit. Peter is a language student, and he spends an awful lot of his time in this urban village. And he's going in there and he's just sitting in a restaurant, getting to know the family, going into these little factories and getting to know the workers. And he just spends his days there. But the other thing that he's been doing is he's been bringing back prayer needs into the fellowship that he's a part of, a mixed fellowship of expats and mainly locals. And he just keeps bringing the prayer needs of this community to the church. And he's been doing this for years now. But then what's been happening is the people in the church have started to get interested in the stories that Peter's telling. And then one or two of them would start going with Peter into this village. And then more and more of them. And then sometimes they've just started to go into the village without him. And what we are seeing now is this incredible joining of a church and a village. And we are seeing people from this village being saved. You're right. How do you save a city of 20 million people? One person at a time. It's one story. Okay, let's jump countries to our next story, Peter and Leonora. Peter and Leonora have this remarkable ministry. They are placed in the very same city that William Carey was based in. And they have this remarkable ministry where they are able to support the pastors of the local churches in the district. They have a wonderful role, a wonderful job. They run tours up and down this river. And this is a really significant river for both the history of the country, but also the history from all around the world. There are a number of old colonial towns on this river, the Danish town, the English town, the Dutch town. And Peter and Leonora lead tours of expats and locals, Christians and non-Christians, and unpack the history of this place for them. These two photos are taken outside a temple that became a church and a home of missionaries. And they tell the story of Henry Martin, who died, I think, in his early 30s of TB after having translated the Bible into three languages. And they're able, through these tours, to unpack the history of this place for people who do not know Christ, and to lead those who do know Christ in a prayer tour through this incredibly important place. The other thing that Peter's involved in is he's volunteering as an archivist in the local college. And in this local college, there are a number of old books. In fact, there are the original writings of William Carey and his missionary colleagues, Marshman and Ward. If you are researching colonial history in this part of the world, if you are searching missionary history, if you're doing research in any of those, Christian or non-Christian, sooner or later, you will talk to Peter. He is now the world-leading expert on these original writings. That's pretty cool. Another story. This is a picture of a jail. Three stories, three rooms. A pretty awful place to be. This is what that same building looks like now. Now it's a school. A school that we are running at the invitation of the local government. We have an NGO set up in this particular country. We are known as a Christian organization. The government is Muslim, and they welcome us in to serve in their community. I think it's wonderful to see a place that was a place of darkness and entrapment is now a place of light and freeing of minds. Anyone know where this is? Yeah. It's a place where we have been working since 1886, the first Kiwi Baptist arrived. We are there at the invitation, warm invitation, of the local government. We currently have 20 empty visa slots that I can place people in right now. Teachers, science teachers in particular, we need right now. Rugo ni hui jang goyu, wo ni yeka I chu nabian. So nabian woman de team, da bu fin shi song, zhongguo da lu, xianggang, Taiwan. Okay? We have, I was just explaining, our team there is primarily a Chinese-speaking team. I can place teachers, I need an administrator or two, I need an accountant, I need community development workers, I can put medical staff in there. I have visas for two theological trainers. Anyone up for a challenge? Last story. We work in another place, a rural place. Can I have the next slide, please? And here in this, we're working in a rural part of a country. It's a poor, economically poor place. It's also a place that's been a very, very tough place for missions over many, many, many years. This is in Thailand. We have a local couple that we work with quite closely in one village. Their names are Dudu and Werachai. And they were talking to a couple of our workers one day, and they were explaining how people in the village are really scared of ghosts, and particularly scared of a ghost called the Peebop. I hope I've pronounced that right. Someone here can surely tell me if I've got that wrong or right. And the Peebop is this ghost that lives inside of you, and they believe it. The ghost will eat you from the inside out, feed on your blood and your organs, and then move to another host just as you die. And the people in this village are deadly afraid of the Peebop. It was soon after that, it was Easter Sunday, and so our workers Peter and Lindley, some of them will know those names. Lindley preached on the death and resurrection of Christ and how through the death and resurrection of Christ, Christ defeated Satan and all of his evil forces, including the Peepop. Now, one old lady, so the story goes, her eyes popped out of her head when she heard this news. The very next Sunday, there's a small group gathered underneath the house on the floor, on the ground there, the small church, as they gathered for worship. This woman was transformed. She had this huge smile on her face. Her hair had been done nicely. She just looked like a completely different person. And she shared how she was no longer scared. She would even walk around the village at night because she knew that Jesus had defeated the Peepop. The spiritual battle that our people face is real. We are seeing some wonderful things happen, but some incredible challenges at the same time. And so this season, this prayer and self-denial season, your prayers are essential. We want Christ to be witnessed all across the world. We want his power, the power of the Spirit and of the gospel to be seen and experienced. So that's Transcend. The next part of our work is Marketplaces. Now, Marketplaces is a New Zealand registered company owned by the New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society. And we are in business because we believe that Christ must be incarnate in the marketplace just as he is everywhere else. And through Marketplaces, we own, can we have the next slide? We own or have some sort of interest in a number of companies throughout Asia. Many of my people, many of our Transcend people are working in one of these businesses. Now, these aren't platforms. These aren't excuses to get visas. These businesses are the place within which mission happens and through which mission happens. I want to tell you one story. Many of you will recognize some of those names. Freeset Loyal, Love Calcutta Arts, these freedom businesses that we own. On the next slide, we've got a picture of a couple of women. One of them is Pip. Pip has just finished with us. But just before she finished, she completed her master's thesis on the freedom journey of the women of Freeset. And in that research, as she was talking to these women, she discovered something really interesting. These are women who were trafficked into sex slavery. We have given them alternative employment. We've taken them off the street. We have taken away the stigma of being a prostitute. These women do not say they are free because they are no longer on the line serving 10 to 20 guys a day. They do not say they are free because they have a job at Freeset. They do not say they are free because the stigma of being a prostitute has fallen from them. This is what they say about freedom. They say one of two things. They say, either I am free because I have met Jesus Christ. Or they say, I am not free yet. These are women who are no longer on the street, no longer prostitutes. They say, I am not free yet. But I think freedom must be found in this Jesus that everyone around me is talking about. Yeah, I get really excited about this because all too often when we hear people talking about the freedom business story, they get excited about people who have been saved from sex slavery. These women understand what true freedom looks like. True freedom is found in Jesus Christ, and praise God, through these businesses, these women are finding him. Pray for those who have not yet made that decision. Marketplaces. Okay, the next part of NZBMS is BANZAID. BANZAID is our aid and development arm, where we work in impoverished communities, cooperating with local Christians to bring economic uplift to these places. We currently have three projects that we are involved in. And the first one on the left there is Freedom Businesses. BANZAID is working with Freeset to plant four new business units. These are business units that are based where the women, many of the women, have been trafficked from. So what we are seeking to do is transform the economies of these villages so that they no longer need to sell their daughters into slavery. So that's the first project. The second project is a coffee project in Papua New Guinea. We are partnered with the Baptist Union of Papua New Guinea. We are working in this valley. It's a valley with seven tribes. They call themselves Seven Nations. And all they can remember of their history is a history of warfare between these seven tribes, these seven nations. And what we are doing is, it's a place that grows coffee. What we are doing is putting infrastructure around this coffee growing so that we can pay better prices to these people, to encourage the local economy, but also to bring peace between these seven warring nations. It's an incredibly difficult place to work. If you know anything about development, Papua New Guinea is a really, really tough place to work. We are seeing some gains. So continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Papua New Guinea with this project. Finally, we have the Village Education Project in Bangladesh. We are cooperating with the Bangladesh Baptist Church Fellowship. The Bangladesh Baptist Church Fellowship next year celebrates 100 years. It's fruit of the work of NZBMS. And we cooperate with the Bangladesh Baptist Church Fellowship. They are running these tutorial classes in 12 villages where they are providing tuition to these poor village kids. Without these tutorial classes, most of these kids would be dropping out of school. And so we are able to make this really significant difference in these communities through this project. We are currently also exploring projects in Samoa and Fiji. Now, here's the exciting thing. Most of the money for these projects has come from the New Zealand government, from the New Zealand government's aid, their aid fund. And so every time you pay taxes, you are supporting the work of BANZAID. It's pretty cool. And you have an opportunity to give directly to BANZAID with some of the special projects that are mentioned in your bulletin. But for every dollar that we get from the New Zealand government, we need to find matching funds. So we still need to raise money for these projects ourselves. So here's a suggestion. You're already giving to BANZAID through your taxes. How about this? If you're getting a tax rebate, I could give you a bank account number to put on the form. Think about it. That is BANZAID. Okay, the final arm of our work is Mission World. Now, Mission World is the part of NZBMS that is not focused overseas, but is focused here in New Zealand. And through Mission World, what we are seeking to do is resource Baptist churches in New Zealand to do overseas mission well, whatever that looks like, whether that's engaged with us or whether that's engaged in a different part of the world with different agencies and completely different work, because we are not about our kingdom, we are about God's kingdom. So through Mission World, we seek to resource you as a church to do overseas mission well. And through Mission World, we also journey with individual Baptists and their churches to explore this thing of mission. So if you are sitting here today and you sense God maybe calling you to something and you want to explore that, you can talk to Mission World and we can journey with you and help you find your place in world mission overseas. As part of that, we have a partnership with a number of other mission agencies. We call them the Mission World Partners, and on the next slide, we've got all of those agencies. Most New Zealand Baptists serving overseas are serving with one of these nine organizations. You notice Transcend there, and above that, OMF, a group that this church knows really, really well. Hi to the Collins family, good news, congratulations. And so we work very closely with these organizations, as well as all of many of those other mission agencies throughout New Zealand, to serve the church well. Here's something really interesting. About half of those mission agencies are currently being run by New Zealand Baptists. We've got a proud heritage. We can be grateful to God for this call upon us as a movement to serve overseas, and a responsibility that we all have now to continue this wonderful call. So that is NZBMS. Well, that's most of NZBMS. I have one more story I'd like to tell you. Along with all of these things that we do, we also do something called student sponsorship. And I have a picture now I'd like to show you of one of these hostels. We cooperate with the Bangladesh Baptist Church Fellowship and with the Tripura Baptist Christian Union in northeast India. Both of these are groups that we were involved in starting up. We work with our brothers and sisters in these two unions in supporting their work of providing education for children. In Tripura and in Bangladesh, they have a number of hostels throughout the country that provide accommodation, food, uniforms and so on, and schooling for children of marginalized communities, tribal communities, Christian communities. These children would not get an education without this hostel program. And so you can sponsor one of these children just in the same way you could sponsor a child through World Vision. $45 a month, you can sponsor a child. The exciting thing is many of these boys and girls grow up and become leaders within the church, within the community, in various ways. Bangladesh has 14 hostels. We are involved in supporting students from four. The young man who's responsible for the student sponsorship scheme over these 14 hostels is one of these boys who grew up in one of these hostels. And it's exciting to see so many stories like this repeated over and over again. As New Zealand Baptists, we're currently supporting 250 children in Bangladesh and Tripura. It's wonderful, and wonderful stories are coming out of this. So that is NZBMS. You can take your seatbelts off now. You can take a bit of a deep breath. We're done. And it's now my opportunity to say thank you to you for your support of the Baptist Missionary Society. And here, during this time of prayer and self-denial, I just would just like to ask you, thank you and ask you again, please give. The work that we're doing is only possible because God's people give. Last year, we had a $300,000 deficit. We're working hard to ensure that doesn't happen again, because I do not want to put a stop to any of these things that we are doing. $300,000 sounds like a lot of money. But last year, if every adult attending every Baptist church in New Zealand had given the NZBMS $10 more than what they gave them, we would not have a deficit. So here's a challenge for you. As you are considering how much you need to give this year to the prayer and self-denial appeal, can I ask you to do two things? Sacrificially decide how much to give, and then add $10. Bit cheeky, I know, but hey. The reality is we need your support to do this work. And we are doing this work because God has called us as a movement to do this together. So that's important. The money's important. But more importantly, and I'm very genuinely I say that, more importantly, we need your prayers. We need the Spirit of God to move, just like he moved in Pentecost. We need to see signs and wonders. We need God to call people into his kingdom. We need the Spirit to encourage and strengthen our people, to give them wisdom and insight and discernment as they share the gospel. But we need God to move. So would you join us in praying for that, so that we could see many find freedom in him? Let's pray. Father, when we read the story of Pentecost, when we read those words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when you call us to go, and you lay before us this incredible challenge, how can we not say yes? And Father, we've prayed about it, we've sung about it, we've talked about it this morning. We've celebrated a baptism. Father, this is what we wish for so many. And as much as this is what we want, we know that your heart beats for this even more than ours. And we know that your Spirit came because he is the Spirit of mission. And he came to empower us to this work. And so, Father, we pray. We pray for us here in Whangarei and in New Zealand and across the world. We pray that your Spirit would move. And your Spirit would convict and convince and draw people to him, so that we could celebrate with them this wonderful life that we have found in you. And so today, Lord, we want to commit ourselves anew to this adventure of following you. And pray that you would pour your Spirit into us as well, so that we too could be his witnesses in the places into which he's called us. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew.